thinking this morning as we were worshiping about the winter. It's been so cold. And the Lord was speaking to me. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. The Lord was speaking to me about the seasons of cold. And one of the things that happens in the season of cold is that's a time of pruning. We're actually in that time right now where if you want your plants to do well, you have to prune them back. And right away, my heart was filled with the word of the Lord for you. The word of the Lord comes to you in this season where it feels like I've cut back, where it feels like I've taken away and the cut is fresh. Understand that I love you and understand that this is a time that prepares you for an even greater season. For the Lord of the harvest knows that that which is intended to be fruitful must first be trimmed. And I am coaxing out of you, says the Lord, a greater strength and a greater destiny and a greater future. For my hand is upon you, and a day of harvest and a day of blessing and a day of increase is on you. But trust me in the time of pruning. Trust me when it seems that I have taken a little bit away, because that little take will prepare you for that much more fruitfulness. Don't you know that as many as I love, I chasten? And don't you know that all the vines that are intended to be fruitful must first be pruned? So trust in me. Trust in your cold season. Trust in the season when it's a cutback time, that I am actually at work preparing you for even greater. For the promise of the Lord to you is my promise will be fulfilled, and I will fulfill my word and my plan and my calling in your life. Do not look at the cutback, but look instead to the fruit that I am coaxing out of you, the new life that I am coaxing out of you. I'm causing you to rise up in new strength during this time. And you will not die. You will not be pushed to the side, but instead you will see the fulfillment of all that I have promised you. For I am the Lord of the harvest, and I love you, and I have called you to be fruitful, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me just pray for us right now. Father, as we go into your word, I pray for a fresh hope that will be birthed into every one of our hearts. Your glory and your grace, Lord, to help us in every circumstance and situation. And Lord, I pray for people that are listening to me today that feel some kind of cutback, some kind of limitation that they weren't expecting. They were expecting now to be the blessing. They're expecting now to be the breakthrough. But instead, it was the cutback. But Father, I thank you for the increase that is coming through the cutback, which is administered in love. I pray hope rise in every heart. And I pray as we go into your word, Lord, there'll be healing, there'll be grace, there'll be forgiveness, there'll be love. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's thank the worship team for their wonderful music this morning. Great leadership in God's presence. This is a better one?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. All right, you ready for the word of God? Take your teaching outline. We're gonna get into that in just a minute. Let me just encourage you, if you have some time and some availability in your life, to partner with us in Team Gateway. Team Gateway is the team that is making ministry happen. And you know, for the most important part of my life is not the part where I'm receiving and getting, but the most important part of my life, and maybe your life as well, is the part where you're giving back. And each of us has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It doesn't feel like we have a lot to give. But if we'll just give that little bit to the Lord, he'll multiply that out. And some very special people in 5 cities are giving and giving and giving. And I know that includes many, many of you. So many projects going forward. So many lives being touched and changed and helped and healed. Our life group leaders and children's ministry. Wow, do we have a beautiful children's ministry. Our youth ministry. In all these areas, there's opportunities and openings for you to be a part, especially as we come toward this season of Resurrection Sunday and the big push that we have over that weekend, the need for parking people, greeters, children's ministry. It's all there for you just to take that little piece of your life that is maybe looks small to you, but you could offer it to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to do something to give back. If you'll text to serve by calling the number 408-444-9094, call that with your cell phone, your mobile phone, and text the word serve. then some information will be shot to you, some links and opportunities that I think will be very interesting to you. If you do that, if you text, it's not like we're going to show up at your door with goons, you know, to lock you up or whatever. We're just going to give you some opportunities to get involved. And I want to say a special thank you to some men that have been helping with. We mentioned that we're renovating, redoing the bathrooms. And so maybe you noticed if you walked the direction of the bathrooms, I was going to say if you tried to go, but I got in trouble with that in the first service. So if you walk toward the bathrooms, you may have noticed that there's some signs, and we're doing a great big renovation. They started tearing it out last Sunday, and the demolition comes before the beautification starts. And some of the guys that helped out, I want to really thank Rick Nunez, Vince Williams, Anthony Hernandez, Hugo, Mike Martin, Pat Martinez, Doug Haas, Joel Milburn, Glacio Velasquez, Javier Velez, JD, David, Caleb Smith, Joshua Smith, the Collins boys, Michael and Joshua, John Cohen provided all the equipment, Steve C.A., Javier, there were others. But is Rick Nunez in here? Rick, are you in the room this morning? He was in first service, okay. But if you want to get involved in the renovation, the bathroom renovation, they're actually round two starts tomorrow. So there's more cleanup, there's more renovation. And I really want to thank everybody that's helping, serving, and giving in every way. When you pray, give, and serve at Gateway, the Lord is using you as a blessing. All right, let's get into the message. Today we're continuing our series called Unshakable Confidence, a study in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the epistle of the Philippians. And our focus today is confidence for the future. How's your confidence for the future? When you think about the future, are you concerned? Do you see storm clouds? Do you get a sense of foreboding? Are you nervous about the future? Or are you hopeful, confident? A lot of times we think that our confidence in the future is bolstered if we know exactly what's going to happen. Somehow, if we know what's going to happen, we could somehow control the future. But the truth is, none of us has any control over the future. But even though we don't have control over the future, we can have great confidence. I was looking at a humorous listing of predictions. You know, the world is full of predictions even today about, you know, all the political things and all the things that are going on in the world and the economy and this and that. And everybody's got an idea. It's like they know exactly what's going to happen. But I had to laugh when I looked at a list of missed predictions that might entertain you. So let me share a couple of them with you. Charles Darwin, ever heard of him? Yeah. He wrote a little book called The Origin of the Species in 1859. He put in his foreword, "I see no good reason why the views given in this volume should shock the religious sensitivities of anyone." And then he advanced the theory of evolution. That was a missed prediction, right? Right. Junius Henri Brown in 1893, I like this one. "Law will be simplified over the next century. Lawyers will have diminished, and their fees vastly curtailed." How many know he missed that prediction? Not exactly a prophet in his own time. And then there was Albert Einstein's teacher. "No matter what he does, he'll never amount to anything." What a poor prediction there. I like the quote from John Foster Dulles. The Dulles Airport in D.C. is named after him. He said, "The Japanese don't make anything the people in the United States would want." Or there was this prescient prediction in 1955, "Rock and roll will be gone by June." How'd you like to be Bob Metcalf in InfoWorld 1995? He said, "I predict the internet will go spectacularly supernova, and in 1996, just 1 year later, catastrophically collapse." Or Steve Ballmer, who just 12 years ago said, "There's no chance that the iPhone will get any significant market share. No chance." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that the people that are talking today in the media and in the culture, and they're telling you exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, they're getting it wrong. And that's okay. It's okay to try. It's okay to make prediction. But the truth is, we don't get our comfort, we don't get our sense of confidence and strength by having accurate predictions of the future. The truth is, the future is uncertain, but we can still have confidence. And the reason is that we know the author of the future. And he's made promises to us. And so when all the prognosticators are prognosticating and the predictors and the market analysts and the trend people that are always wrong, 99% of the time they're wrong. Once in a while they get it right. But you know what? Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Think about it. When they are making their predictions, I just smile and I say, I have some promises in God's word that hold me steady for the future. So even when life is unpredictable, we can have unshakable confidence. Even though we don't know what the future holds, we know who holds the future. Here's a thought for us to think about today. Maybe you can discuss this in your life group, what your views on this might be. We'll never be free to live fully in the present until we can confidently trust God with our future. You believe that might be true? In other words, the way you view the future, your view of it, really affects, profoundly affects how you interact with other people and how you experience life, either the abundant life that Christ came to give you, or maybe the life that you're designing for yourself that isn't going so good. If you and I could nail down a few simple things about the future and come to a place of rest and confidence, it would profoundly improve the way we are living our lives today. And that's what I want to talk about. And that's what Paul was talking about in the third chapter of Philippians. Let's take a look at about 10 verses here from the third chapter, and let's see what he's got to say. Paul the apostle said, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I haven't achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting, everyone say forgetting. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, the future that God has for me. Forgetting the past, letting go of the past, and focusing instead on something that God has for me, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. In other words, I'm not going to argue with you. I love Paul. If you don't see it the way I see it, God will catch you up sooner or later. Why do we fight about stuff, right? Just tell your wife, your husband, your kid, if you don't see it the way I see it, God's going to get you. It's just a great way to. So he says, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I've told you often before, and I say it with tears in my eyes, that there are many who conduct shows and they are, or whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. They think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under control. Paul the Apostle is drawing a contrast, isn't he? He's showing us how some people live just for the now. Their only focus is on that next meal, that next exciting moment, or that next delectable deception that they're toying with, their next amazing idea that's really not a great idea at all. And then he said, but then there's us, there's you and I, there's the people of God. We're citizens of heaven. We don't live for this life alone. We live instead for a life that is coming, a plan that God has for each and every one of us that holds us steady in this life. So then rather than thinking about the things that are in the past or being overwhelmed with the things that are in the present, We live in the future and we have confidence in the future. This, I believe, is the secret to Paul's happiness. This is why he could, as we've talked about before, be in prison and yet be content. This is why Paul is okay when things aren't okay, because he has a certain kind of view of the future. What I'd like to do today is connect all of us with those kinds of viewpoints that will steady us and hold us steady in the nasty now and now, when things are up and down, and the uncertainty of tomorrow where we don't really know what's going to happen. If we could hold on to a few things that will keep us strong, then it'll profoundly impact the way we live right now. Let's take a look at Paul's keys for confidence in the future. I'm going to give you three of them. We're going to pray. You're going to walk out of here whistling Dixie. Hallelujah. All right. You're just going to say, man, I'm excited for the future. All right. You ready? All right. Number one, the first thing I notice in this passage is that Paul's life was secure in Christ. That's number one. He was secure in Christ. So his confidence didn't come from his knowledge about the future. It certainly didn't come from the fact that he was in prison or that he was being treated fairly. Paul's security came from Jesus Christ. For Paul, it was all about Jesus. And we see this in the third chapter of Philippians, where he's continuing to live his life even though he's in prison. Now, he's not a guy that's saying, my life is over. This is it. I mean, I'm so depressed. I'm so sad. I can't believe that God has forsaken me. I can't believe this situation. I can't believe how unjust this system is. I can't believe that I'm... No, he's talking about life, and he's talking about the promises of God, and he's encouraging. He's a giver in the midst of this difficulty. How is he able to do that? Because his confidence is not in his circumstance. His confidence is in Christ. He's less worried about the future, because he knows who holds the future for him. In the first three of our 10 verses, for example, Paul goes off about heaven. He's talking about, he's so delighted, he's so encouraged, he's drawing his strength from the heavenly prize, for example, he talks about. I'm still present, I've got my eye on the finish line. And I just wanna say to you guys that for you lately, maybe the race has been a little exhausting. Maybe for you, the race feels like it's been all uphill for now, and you're just thinking, man, I don't know if I can finish. Keep your eye on the prize. Don't think so much about the difficulty of each step that you're taking. Just stay focused on the end. Stay focused on the reward that God is going to give you in the end. That'll keep you strong in tough times. So Paul's talking about the heavenly race, the heavenly prize. He also talks about heavenly citizenship. He talks about, you know, yeah, I'm a Roman citizen, but that citizenship is only going to get me so far. The real citizenship, the real birthright that I have comes from God in heaven. And whether you're a citizen of this country or that country, or whether you're freeborn or you're a visitor or an immigrant or whatever it is, the truth is that's not the real status that matters in your life. What actually matters in your life is the fact that you were born again and you're a citizen of heaven. Come on, somebody. And so I'm not saying that those things aren't important. We all want to be good citizens. We all want to participate in making our society better. There's a lot of work to do. But in the end of the day, our real citizenship comes from heaven. Our birthright, our rights, responsibilities, and really who we are and where we're going is a matter of heavenly perspective. And then he writes even about our heavenly bodies. He talks about one day this body's going to be changed, and I'm going to receive a resurrected body. I love that song we were singing earlier. Talks about if Jesus rose from the dead, then so will we. Hallelujah. And that's the promise of every believer. You might be aching and hurting today, and you might be noticing a couple of problems with your physical body. But one day there's a trade-in program, and you're going to trade this body in for one that never breaks, never hurts, and never dies. And we're going to receive that body when Jesus comes again. He is coming again, after all. That's another positive thing about your future, you know? So really the perspective is like this. I don't really have too many problems that can't be solved. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And one day, death isn't even going to be able to touch me. That gives you a little bit of a leg up. Now, who makes these promises to us? It's Christ. See, it's not heaven. It's the Christ of heaven. It's not the heavenly body. It's the one who made the heavenly body. The one who is Jesus Christ is the center of this, all these promises that he's making toward us. And it's in him. For Paul, it was always about Jesus. And you can see that in his words here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, where he also writes, by the way, he was also in prison when he wrote this, a different imprisonment. Paul had some issues with the law. Okay, wasn't always smooth sailing for him. Generally, it was because he was preaching the gospel and causing problems. So in his final imprisonment, the one he didn't make it out of, the one he didn't get free from, he writes this. It's for this reason that I suffer these things, because I'm preaching the gospel. But he said, I'm still full of confidence because I know whom I have trusted, and I am sure that he is able to keep safe until that day what he has entrusted to me. He didn't say, you know, I know that our legal system is just going to work out beautifully. That wasn't where his confidence was. You know, I'm just an optimistic guy. I just feel, you know, things that just have a way of working out well. I think, no, he said, the reason I'm confident is because I got a hold of Christ's hand in my life. And he's not going to slip up. He doesn't make mistakes. I want to say this to you. Do you think God would send his son to die on a horrible cross for you, that a good God like our Father God would watch his son squirm and die and then raise him from the dead and then somehow put him in charge of you and you're going to get lost in the shuffle? Do you think everything that God has done for you is going to lead somehow to you in a miserable flame out? You're going to burn out. You're not going to make it. You lost your salvation. God took his eyes off you. He forgot to help you with the rent. Or do you believe that God can take good care of you? Everything that Jesus has done for you, everything that God has done for you, you can have confidence that he's going to continue to provide and take care of you. So here's something to talk about maybe this week in your small group. It's this statement: in Christ, we can have unshakable confidence even though the future is uncertain. We don't have a clue what's going to happen, but we can be confident in the future. I'm going to be honest with you. I struggled for years. When I first came to Christ, I came to Jesus when I was I really came to Jesus when I was 14. It was a powerful experience for me. And it was real, but I felt that I was defective. I felt there must be something wrong with me because I still had sinful thoughts and I still did things I shouldn't have done. And I said to myself, if I was truly saved, I wouldn't be doing these things. So, like many of you, I got saved a bunch of times. How many of you gotten saved a bunch of times, like more than once? It's not actually, you didn't actually get saved more than one time. If you're saved, you're saved, right? But there was something about putting up my hand and making sure. Something about praying with somebody and just making sure. Because at first you're wondering, you know, if this thing took for me, that I probably wouldn't have certain thoughts or do certain things or say certain things. I should be different, right? And it's true that God begins to change you and begins to work in you. But, you know, when you're as messed up as you and I, it takes a little while, all right? There's a lot of wrinkles that God has to get at, right? And it takes some time. So I just kept getting saved. At the core of it, I think, if you really think about that lack of faith or that I'm not sure if I'm saved, that actually is not so much doubting ourselves as it is, here's the sad thing, it's really doubting Christ's ability. It's really doubting how sufficient, how capable he is to save us. The same thing goes for provision, healing, everything else. But when you come right down to it, what Jesus did for us is enough to get us all the way home. How many believe that? So we've got to start with that confidence that we're saved. I saw a quote from Martin Luther the other day, the great father of the Protestant Reformation, and he said this. He said, when I look at myself, I can't help but wonder if I'm saved. But he said, when I look at Jesus,
I can't help but believe that I am. In other words, if the focus is on you, if the focus is on your performance, then it all goes. But if the focus is on what Jesus has done and his grace and his ability to get us through, then if we think he hasn't just, there hasn't been like a minor miscalculation with you and your faith and your salvation, he's going to get you all the way through. Look at these verses. Can I just reassure some of you that may be wondering, am I really saved? Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 2:21 says, everyone, say everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Even people that don't go to our church. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Today, if you're doubting, you know, God's ability to finish the work that he's begun in your life, I just want you to rest in those verses and in those promises. Put your trust in him. When our future is secure in Christ, our present takes on that aspect of unshakable confidence. Get secure. Get secure in Jesus and trust in him. Settle the issue. Now, the next piece of this puzzle concerning confidence for the future, how do we get confident about a future that we can't even predict? Well, the second piece that I notice in here in the third chapter is that Paul embraced God's story for his life. I want to talk to you about Paul's story and then take a minute and talk to you about the story that God is writing in your life. I know tonight is tonight the Oscars? Is it the Oscars or is it Academy Awards? Something. We don't really care, do we? I don't know. I don't care. Although I will say, if Black Panther doesn't take Best Movie, I'm going to flip a table. That's all I have to say, because it is the best movie. Well, there's a lot of stories, and I think that sometimes the stories that Hollywood tells are, they're not quite the stories that I'm interested in. What the story that I'm interested in is the story that God is writing in my life and the story that he's writing in your life. Could we concentrate on that for just a moment? Then verses 12 through 14, Paul admits something about himself. He says, I haven't arrived. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I thought I would be. I haven't arrived. But he said, despite all the stuff that's happened to me, I'm forgetting all that stuff of the past, and I keep pressing for the prize. This is why I love Paul. He kept his eyes on what was ahead instead of what was behind. And I think this might be the reason why he had joy in a prison cell, where he was able to look at things that were limiting his life, ways that life was not perfect, but because he was able to let go of the past and anticipate by faith a great future that God had for him. For that reason, Paul was one of the most rock steady people that you'll ever meet, despite what was happening around him. Paul recognized that he couldn't press on if he was still holding on. Sometimes you have to let go so you can press on. You know, walking with Jesus is kind of a process of letting certain things going and grabbing on to the new things that he's doing. And this is what Paul is saying. I have confidence concerning the future because I've learned how to let things slip out of my hands. And I'm wondering in this room or people that are watching online, just wondering, what thing might the Lord be asking you to just drop? Just drop it. Don't bring it up anymore. Maybe it's something you did in yourself. Maybe it's something that somebody did to you. It's part of your story. It did happen. It's not a fact. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm just saying there comes a time where you have to choose between your past and your future. At some point, brothers and sisters, we have to let it go and we have to embrace what God has for us. And what happens when we do that, the pain begins to fade and the hurt goes away and our past no longer has power over us. Our past no longer controls our future when we let it go. So Paul said, I've just let it go. That was a part of my story. But he said, there's still some other things coming in my story that's really the best part. Where do you see the ending, Paul is saying? Wait, hey, the first couple of chapters were rough, but wait till you see what God's got cooking. You know, you think about Paul, he had a vivid story. I mean, we've talked about him and what was happening in his life. He was circumcised the eighth day. We learned in the third chapter around verse 4, 5, 6, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He had totally spiritual DNA. You know, he had a great pedigree and all of that. He also has some failures in his story. For example, he was a persecutor of the church. Imagine now he's a Christian leader. He loves the church. He's given his life for the church. But he had to look back on people who were dead that he had a hand in. One of them was Stephen. You can read about it in the book of Acts, how Paul was consenting and even holding the coats of those who were bloodying Stephen as Stephen worshiped. As he praised God, and Paul was there to get him, man. Throw another rock at him. Do you have moments in your life that you're totally ashamed of? Do you have things that still come up for you? If you were really a good person, you would have never done this. If you were really saved, you wouldn't have had that thought. You wouldn't have said those words. If you really love the Lord, you wouldn't have gotten a divorce. You wouldn't have gone through bankruptcy. If God was really for you, then this and this and this wouldn't have happened. And we wrestle with those things. Paul said, I've learned to let go of those things because I've learned that God is writing a new chapter in the story of my life. So what happens is we come to a certain point. Jesus takes over. He becomes the author and finisher of our faith. He takes over and he starts writing a new chapter. Everybody say a new chapter. I want you to understand something today. There's a new chapter that God is writing in your life. So yeah, you had a story. Maybe some of the story that you've believed about yourself was just what other people told you. It's not actually who you are. The experiences that you had made you think you were a certain thing. Or maybe you were actually a failure like me, like you were really lost. Whatever your past was, do you have faith to stand today and say, I believe God is going to write a new chapter in my life? Because for Paul, that's what happened. And it can be the testimony of every Christian. It's not a question of why does God allow bad things to happen. Sometimes the question is, are we going to let go of those things or are we going to keep holding on to them? Maybe that's the more important question. I have written down here, the real question is whether we will continue to live according to our early life story or will we embrace the new chapter that God is wanting to write for our future. Paul had done awful things, but he understood grace. He understood a divine do-over. He understood forgiveness. How many are glad for forgiveness? And so by forgiveness, we're able to let go of those things and forgiveness, not just when we need it, but forgiveness for the people that may have played a bad part in the story of our life up to this point. You got to let those people go too. When you're able to forgive, God gives you the power to move on. And just like Paul, each of us has a life story. But also just like Paul, God is writing a new story in our lives. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our story. How many like the way that sounds? Would you today just be willing to let go of whatever your story has been, the bad parts, the regretful parts, the painful parts, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead? Because God, wait till you see the writing. Wait till you see the ending that God has cooked up for your life. It's going to make all the Hollywood movies look boring. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You may have wandered away from God's desires for your life, or you may have had experiences that have derailed you, but wherever you're at today, God can write a brand new chapter in your life. And it will be perfect. It will be perfect for you. It may not be like my story or your neighbor's story, but it'll just be perfect for you. Here's a little thing to write down. When you focus on God's story for your life, when you focus on God's story for your life, that's when you have unshakable confidence. See, my story, you don't want to know it. I mean, maybe it's a part of, it'll be entertaining. But the real glorious story is when I yielded the pen to Jesus and said, Lord, take over. We're going to come to the close of the service here. Let me just give you a few words on the last point. Paul had, as we read the third chapter, we can see he had a win-win perspective. We went over this a week or two ago, where Paul had said in the first chapter about the fact that he might die, and he had such a win-win perspective on that. He said, you know, I might die, but he said, if I die, it's actually pretty cool because I'm going to heaven. So I don't lose there. But he said, if I live, if I make it through this, I get to enjoy my relationship with you guys and keep ministering to you and helping you. So in the end, Paul had this kind of perspective. Now what we do, we kind of do the opposite. We say, the story has to go this way for me to be happy. And if the story doesn't go this way, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's a win-lose perspective. Let's go to win-win. It might go this way, and it might go that way. But whatever happens, he's the author and finisher of my faith. So for me, it could have happened this way. It could have happened that way. Whatever happens, I'm trusting in God. And isn't this what Paul meant when he said in the eighth chapter, that wonderful eighth chapter of Romans, that we all love so much, where in the Amplified version it says this, and we know with great, what? I love this version because it agrees with my series title, all right? We know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, he causes all things to work together as a plan for good, for those who love God, for those who are called according to his plan and purpose. So it goes like this. When you have that, you have unshakable confidence. Here's the real story today. Make sure you're secure in Christ. Make sure that you're open to the new chapter that God is writing in your life, and make sure that you're truly believing that all things work together for good. Because if you have that, it will profoundly change the way you live your life right now and the way you experience your future. Will you receive that from the Lord? Bow your heads, everybody. I'd like to pray for us. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. Lord, I can feel the Holy Spirit reminding us of things that we sort of know, but we just need to be told again. And the bottom line is this, Lord. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. So, Lord, let a deep sense of peace, let a confidence fill every one of us that's not attached to circumstances. That confidence is securely attached to Jesus, his love, his plan, and his ability to get us through. I pray for people that are in pain today, Lord. I pray for people that are struggling with disappointments and hurt. They've got stuff in their past that is trying to control their future. Lord, would you break the power of the past starting right now, Lord? We make a decision to forgive. We make a decision to release and move on and stretch and reach for what's ahead, because it's so good, Lord. You're writing a beautiful story for each of us. And I pray, Lord, that we'll walk out of this building, Lord, strengthened in our faith in Jesus Christ and the story that he's writing for us. Thank you for that confidence. May it grow inside of our imperfect hearts, Lord. May it grow anyway, and let it overtake us, I pray. Just remain prayerful here for a moment, every Christian praying. There may be people in this service that are struggling as I struggled with the assurance of salvation
you're not sure if you're saved, I just want to pray for you. If you want to follow Jesus and you want your sins forgiven and you want to know that you're truly, truly saved and right with God, I want to pray for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just lift your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I just need that assurance of salvation. I see your hand. Just lift it up wherever you are. I see you. I see you in the back. Hands all over the auditorium. People that just need, I see you, dear. It's wonderful. About 6 or 8, 7, 9, 10. Look at that. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you can put your hands down. Maybe that's you online. The Lord sees every heart. He knows every decision. We're going to make that decision now. Jesus, I give my heart to you. I call on you. And according to your word, I'm saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I pray a supernatural assurance of salvation in every heart. Fill us with the power of heaven to live for you. But Lord, the way we live is not what saves us. It's the way you lived that saves us. I thank you for it, Lord. Let that boldness now fill our lives. We will not be afraid even of our own sins, Lord, because perfect love casts out all fear. Fill us with that perfect love, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like everyone to say a simple prayer. We're going to say this prayer. It's up on the screen. If you raised your hand, the moment you're saying this prayer, this is something that happens for you. You're making a decision to follow Jesus. And I'd like to invite you at the end of this service, as we have a gift for you. Not only do we have a gift for newcomers, if I haven't met you, I'd love to meet you. But we have a gift for everybody that raised their hand to give their life to Christ. It's at the Welcome Center. Our team is there. They'll be ready to give you that gift. There's a card that you heard about earlier in the service that says, I've decided. And so fill out that card. It says, I've decided to give my life to Christ, to rededicate myself to him. Take your card to the lobby. We have some gifts for you. Here's the prayer. Can we say this prayer together? Let's send it straight to heaven. Here we go. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me a future and a hope. As I draw closer to you, fill me with greater confidence and trust in you. Help me to more clearly see the story that you have written for my life and continue to reveal to me a future that is greater than the one I now see. In Christ's name, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap for changing people's lives? Thank you, Jesus. The ushers are going to serve you. The worship team is going to minister. Let's just give our offerings and give our praise and give our love to the Lord. Pastor Chris will come in just a moment and close us out.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for your greater confidence filling us. In Jesus' name, from this day forward, God, to let go of the past, to move with you into our future that you planned. Thank you, Jesus. Not for a minute, not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. He's with you. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Let's just thank God for this word this morning, Gateway. What a word. What an encouraging word. We have a future. It is secure. Hey, as we heard earlier, this is Welcome Weekend. If you're new here over the last couple of weeks, meet us right up here in the front. Pastor David will be there. I'll be there. Some of the leaders will be there. We'd like to get to meet you and share with you a little bit more about Gateway. But let's all pray. Father, we thank you for the anointing in this room right now to seal up, Lord, everything we heard this morning. We thank you that your word is true. And we ask that your spirit, Lord God, just begins to work a deep work. And that from here on out, Lord, as we leave today, we know our future is secure in you. And that whatever may come, Lord God, we know you have already covered it. It's already working for our good. And we give you praise for it this day, Father. Bless your people. Bless the families. Bless this week, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. If you need prayer for anything else, we got our prayer teams up here. Go get signed up, Team Gateway, and all the new people. We'll see you over here to our left, to your right. God bless. Have a great week.